from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me on Impact Catalyst is the executive director of Alpha House, Jennifer Strassic. Good to have you. So let's start, you know, we'll learn about Alpha House as we go along, but let's do that by hearing your story and how you came to be connected with Alpha House.
Sure. When I was a teenager, I lived with my mom and my stepfather. Actually, it was not far from where Alpha House is now, which is very strange for me that I ended up at Alpha House because it was so close. And I was abused by my stepfather. I was neglected by my mom. Nobody was really concerned about where I was at any given time. And ultimately, it resulted in being human trafficked by a boyfriend, which resulted in me being pregnant. And I didn't realize I was pregnant till I was 7 months pregnant. What's even more alarming now and that I've thought of as an adult is that nobody else noticed that I was pregnant. So I would go in, back in and out of my, I'll call it a home, but, and, you know, I would sleep there at night, you know, go in when my stepdad was sleeping. So, you know, he wasn't abusing me as much when I did that. And nobody knew that I was pregnant. The shape of my body changed. I was carrying a boy, so I carried him mainly on my back. But I remember I woke up one day in the morning and I noticed, I was 15, and I noticed that my body was changed. And I yelled out for my mom and I said, something's wrong. So she took me to the doctor and it was just such a shock because I was 7 months pregnant, which means I only had 2 months before a baby was coming. So I ended up going back home and the boyfriend that I was pregnant by didn't want nothing to do with me anymore. He couldn't traffic me anymore. Nobody was interested in a pregnant female. So I went home with the thought that I was going to keep my son, have my own family, you know, just have this magical thinking. The abuse continued when I was there. I remember I turned 16 in January and my stepdad got so mad that my mom took me to the movies that when I came home, he threw my birthday cake all over the car and just made threatening things, and he destroyed my whole bedroom that I had prepared for the baby. So it was just an unhealthy environment. Fast forward to, you know, giving birth to my son. Initially, I said, I have to give him up for adoption. I can't bring him back to that environment. And I had a family, a lawyer husband and wife that were going to adopt my son. But then somebody let their name slip. And so they backed out because they didn't want me to kind of bother them, I guess. So then I gave the baby to like a respite overnight place. I said, I need to think about it. And I came back home with my mom, and me and my mom talked about it. I was like, I really miss the baby. So we got the baby the next day. And then the goal was for me to keep my son. I thought I was doing a pretty good job. I had everything for him for being 16, but then the abuse started again. So I would like go for a walk with my son, and my mom was at work, and my stepdad worked at the house. He fixed boats, and he would lock all the doors on me, so I couldn't get back in the house. So that happened for about 2 months, and then I found myself like walking around Mirror Lake all day long. I mean, it was so hot. My son was 8 pounds, 7 ounces at birth. And at that point, he was almost 10 pounds. And I remember having a carrier for him and just so desperate for help. And not one single person helped me. So eventually, I couldn't go back home. And so I went to stay with a friend but it was temporary. Her dad was an alcoholic, even though they lived in a middle class neighborhood. And so I couldn't stay there either. So I was cornered and I had to get my son up for adoption. So a doctor at the hospital and his wife, I didn't know their names, but they adopted my son. I then went back home, and my family had moved to another house, and my stepfather then moved from like mentally and physically abusing to trying to sexually abuse me. I was going to school at St. Pete High at the time, and I reported him, and I'll never forget this day. It was really, really so embarrassing and so sad. So I told my mom what he tried to do, and my mom yelled at me so bad and said, "They're going to take all the kids away. You have to go back and tell them that you lied." So I got scared. I was still only 16. So I went to the police department and told them I made it all up. And I remember seeing my stepdad walk down the stairs with these cops, and they were all just laughing. And so after that, I ended up going to Buffalo, where I was born and raised, and a disabled aunt let me stay with her. And then I was just determined. I said, you know, my goal is to meet my son one day. I don't want to seem like this was all for nothing. So I went to school and got my associate's in human services. Then I got my bachelor's in social work. Then I got my master's in social work. And then I came back to Florida, and I worked in substance abuse and said, this isn't for me. And then a job posting came up for Alpha House. And I thought I was going to be triggered. It was really interesting. I walked in the lobby for an interview, and I could smell the smell associated with used clothes. And when I was younger, I never had anything new. I always had to get stuff at the thrift store, and I was really triggered by it. But I stuck it out. I got hired. Essentially, that was 16 and a half years ago. So I have been at Alpha that long. And the reason why I came full circle is because I wanted to work with young girls or women that had a choice. Because I have been riddled. The grief is so unimaginable that I've experienced by losing my child all those years. So I wouldn't wish that on anybody to not have a choice.
I'm very sorry that you had to go through that. It sounds terrible. And so, you know, when you were walking around Mirror Lake, had Alpha House connected with you at that point, you know, now in the role that you're in, what would have happened? How would Alpha House then engage with you and what would they have done? What would that help look like?
Yeah, so if somebody would have told me about Alpha House at the time, because it would have been still located in downtown St. Pete, because it opened in 1991 on the location we're at now. But if somebody told me about Alpha House, you know, they would have provided me a safe place to be. They would have welcomed me in. I would have had my own space, you know, with my son. I would have had food to eat for both of us. I would have had all the supplies that he would need. And, you know, that would have eliminated so much stress to be supported by somebody and just to feel like it's going to be okay. And, you know, we're here to help you, and there's no expense associated with it.
And, you know, as you've worked with girls that have been in your situation, you know, you mentioned this, your stepdad coming down the stairs with the police officers, and they were sort of laughing. And it seems to me, it feels like in the modern world, even, you know, if you had said this happened, and then even if you said it didn't, that wouldn't have been, nowadays, that wouldn't be good enough. They would still dig. Is that true? Or is that a sign of a way things happened in the past that is better now? Or do you think that same scene could play out again, even now?
I mean, I think it could play out, but I definitely think that we're definitely more evolved in and helping. And, you know, human trafficking is so prevalent. And Tampa Bay toddles back and forth between Miami. So it's either one, it's either Tampa Bay or Miami who's got the highest number of victims. So, you know, I think people are more aware and people know that it can be scary, you know, and definitely look into it more that, you know, why did somebody's story change that quick like that?
And with, you know, people, the sort of general, you know, idea of human trafficking is people being potentially kidnapped from other countries and brought here for to be put into the sex trade and things like that. But, you know, it happens also through relationships here. You know, can you talk about what you see, you know, as you're on the ground, on the front lines of this, what you see is sort of the human trafficking situation in the area?
Yeah. So our residents and just like myself, we're perfect targets for coming from abused backgrounds and nobody looking out for us. And so there's just this magical thinking of, you know, that somebody likes me, you know what I mean? And it becomes a relationship that you think is just the two of you. And that's the plan. The plan is to get these girls sucked in to the, that's what they think is what's going on. But really, the plan is to, you know, lure them in any way that they can. And it's so difficult to get out once you're in there. And what happens is it's the same thing that happened with me, with the girls at Alpha, is that they don't bother them when they're pregnant, but they're waiting for them to have that baby so that they can re-enter them into the sex trafficking. And a lot of these girls, it's very clinical and they just want to be loved. And their perception of love was so distorted from their life growing up. They don't have clear, this is what love is supposed to be. This is the only love that was shown to me. So when you get the trafficker, you know, involved with them, then it's not so foreign for a lot of these girls because that's what they're used to. Some of the girls have been trafficked by family members.
And that's the only place they're getting love, you know, combined with an isolation from any other inputs that this might not be right. It becomes kind of a weird normal for them.
Yeah, you know, they're always looking for love in all the wrong places. Sounds like a song. But it's really, really sad. So we work really hard to try to shelter that from them and build their self-esteem. And we've got such an advanced security system as well on the outskirts of the building.
Right. And what does the sort of cycle of engagement with Alpha House look like? You know, as you make first contact with a girl who's going to have a baby, you know, what happens next and then how long are they involved and connected to Alpha House?
It depends on the age. We surveyed 14 to 41. So if you're 14 to 17 or under 18, then you're in the foster care system. So, you've already been removed for whoever was supposed to take care of you because it was so extreme. So an agency usually will engage with us and place those girls with us. Alpha House is the only maternity home in the state of Florida that serves that big of an age gap and also allows them to stay as long as they do. So if you're a minor coming in, you can essentially stay till after you're 18, which could be 4 or 5 years, depending, because they're not allowed to sign a lease as a minor. So where are they going? So the adults age 18 to 41, they can stay with us 2 years after their baby's born. Some a little bit longer, depending on how far along they are when they come to us with their pregnancy. But they filter out faster than the minors, so they're usually about 9 months, 10 months in. We're very structured at Alpha House. We have a lot of rules, a lot of rewards as well as consequences. And some of those girls have a really hard time, you know, getting used to that different kind of lifestyle because they've been on their own living on the streets or being trafficked. So,
and with such a long stay period, you know, it can be years. You know, how do you handle occupancy as far as like, are you full now and do you have a waiting list or do you, you know, what's your sort of, availability?
Yeah, we are full. We do have one foster care opening. So we have 16 beds. And so 8 are for foster care and 8 are for adults. But we've got a wait list, very long wait list for adults to come into our program. I mean, I just took 6 calls alone yesterday by myself. Yeah, so we just put them on our wait list and check in with them periodically because we are a long-term program that, you know, hinders, you know, helping a large amount of people. But it also does benefit the client more because we're more engaged with them for a longer period of time. Internally, we have a therapist that meets with them weekly. We provide trauma groups every week, parenting groups. They have case managers. They have 24/7 supervision. So we're trying to give them a whole holistic approach to try to, you know, help change their world, you know, and the world they came from.
You know, some of the trauma runs so deep and you have all the other layers of potentially addiction and things like that. So as, you know, even as immersive and holistic and intense as your program is, you know, how do you feel you know, the impact? Are you, you're assuming you're meeting the most highest possible impact on their lives, you know, how's the success rate? You know, how do you feel like you know, the vast majority of the girls and women who go through the Alpha House program, you know, you feel great about where they end up, or are some of them, you know, it's just some just kind of go back to where they came from?
We have on average a 90% success rate of having them permanently housed and, you know, having a job and being stable. It's going to be interesting to see how that happens this year because the lack of affordable housing in our community is just hindering us having girls, you know, move into apartments that they qualify for. A lot of them, we've got a relationship with St. Pete Housing, so the girls can get a voucher relatively soon after completing 30 hours of services like counseling groups internally, but the landlords keep raising their rents, so the vouchers are not keeping up with the amount that the landlords are raising. So it'll be interesting to see how the year ends up and how, if that number stays the same. But one thing I will say is that even the girls that leave our program sooner than we might have a, you know, stronger impact on them, they still stay in contact with us when they leave. And we also have aftercare and we follow each girl for a year.
Well, that's, I mean, sounds incredibly transformational. You mentioned affordable housing. You know, what are some of the other key levers in your mind that, you know, if we as a community can look and, you know, shine a light on or work harder on being better at, you know, what are some of those key issues that aren't being addressed as well as they could be?
Well, that honestly is the main one. And it is the what's talked about in every meeting I attend. I'm on the Homeless Leadership Board and everybody's always in distress for every meeting because as of last Friday, there's 84 families that are living on our streets. So, you know, we can't keep up with, as agencies, you know, providing affordable housing as fast as the numbers growing, you know, for families to be homeless. So, you know, we are working internally with donors to try to make that come true, at least for the population that we serve. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's something that's going to take a lot of planning, you know, and there's a lot of wealthy people in our community that, you know, that are buying up land buying up houses and then flipping them and, you know, and then selling them for a very large amount of money. So we're running out of places for people to go in general. So that needs to be, it's a crisis. There's 870 homeless people on the streets in Pinellas County. Of that, the 84 women and families. I took a call yesterday of a mom and she has six kids and they're all living in a car. So that, you know, it's not just, it's too much of a task for nonprofits to take the leap. There needs to be, you know, community developers, you know, there needs to be other people in the community that care enough, you know, to help.
And, you know, how we came together today and one of the ways you're working to, look at operational things also to connect with the community is through Social Venture Partners, Fast Pitch, which you're participating in. Can you talk a little bit about what drew you to that and what you're hoping to achieve as far as running Alpha House from that curriculum?
So I recently participated in 100 Women That Cares, where you have 5 minutes to say your agency, and you compete against two different ones, and Alpha House won. And somebody mentioned to me in the evening about Fast Pitch. So I, made sure that I applied this round and we got chosen. It's a bit more challenging because we got a lot of people, to go against now. It's, I think, not, you know, two other people. But so what Alpha House is going to be requesting, because it's such a large amount of money to open affordable housing. So we want to try to have as much impact in the community as possible, is we want to start a mobile outreach program. And we would have a team that would have a van that we would, you know, gut out in the back. I think they're called sprinters, or and we would have all baby supplies in there, and we would and their job would be, you know, to service all the families and pregnant women that are on the streets, and make connections with them, and try to get a waiting list going just for them. But, you know, I think about it, and even if I didn't get to Alpha House or know about Alpha House, or maybe there was no openings, and I'm sitting on that bench, drenched with heat, sweating, and Mirror Lake. If I had that mobile unit come up to me and say, "We see you, we hear you, we want to help," and, you know, provided me with everything that I needed and told me, you know, that they were going to be back at a certain time. You know, like, we'll come and look for you, or if I had a phone number to give them and they stayed to connect with me, that could be, you know, a game changer for somebody. It really could. So we would like to start on that level and start with the community outreach program.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think as Social Venture Partners, we'll have some brain power to help you get that moving in the right direction. And for what it's worth, you know, there are awards for multiple people, so it's not just one winner. So, and you know, you kind of brought it full circle back to your experience at Mirror Lake. So, as much as you're comfortable sharing, were you able to reconnect with your son over time?
I was when he was 19. My girlfriend that I stayed with, who had the alcoholic father, her mother was a nurse at the same hospital. So I reconnected with my friend and her mom. The dad passed away a while ago, and she was waiting for me. So she opened the hospital directory that she had saved all these years, because she loved my son too and really tried to help. And she pointed to the doctor's name that adopted my son. So I had the last name. So within 2 minutes, I found him on Facebook. Within the next day, I decided as a courtesy to call the adoptive parents and tell them that I found him and I was going to be reaching out. So I had a conversation with them and then reached out to my son. So yeah, I reconnected with him. He lives in Las Vegas now, but we're in touch.
Wonderful. Well, you know, it's certainly a terrible genesis for, you know, that pushed you into the work that you're doing now, but we are all better off that you are doing that work. You'll undoubtedly change and improve many, many girls and women's lives in ways that who knows where they would end up otherwise. So I hope you find great meaning in that. And we're very appreciative, and I do appreciate you sharing some of your story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Jennifer Strasik, Alpha House. Look forward to seeing you again at the Fast Pitch coming up. And be well.
From stpetecatalyst.com.